Talk 94.9 WSJM. You are listening to Our Take. I'm the host today. My name is Andrew Green. Thanks for tuning in on this show. We discuss issues playing out in the news around Michigan's great Southwest. We talk about local events. We talk about state news, things going on in Lansing, occasionally some national news. And if you have a subject you'd like to suggest, or if you have a comment on something that we have discussed, as always, you can send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E at wsjm.com. So there's plenty to talk about today on today's edition of Our Take. We've got multiple guests lined up here coming up. In the next segment, we'll chat with State Senator John Prose. I've caught up with him. We've talked a bit about things that he's expecting the state legislature to work on when they get back to work next month. Our state lawmakers will be back in Lansing full-time right after Labor Day. And so I've spoken with State Senator John Prose about what they'll be doing. A big issue he expects to be on the agenda is auto insurance reform. We'll hear about that. They've been working on this. They've been talking about it for a few years now, trying to reduce auto insurance costs here in the state of Michigan, because our auto insurance in Michigan is much too expensive. Most expensive auto insurance in the country here in Michigan. So our lawmakers will discuss that. Also, I chatted with State Senator John Prose about corrections issues. That's something he's always working on. He's got some ideas for some reforms that could be implemented once our state legislature gets back to work. Also on today's show, we'll hear about Michigan State Police. They have a new program. We've talked about this before. It's a new volunteer program where they're seeking individuals who are willing to sort of donate some of their time every so often to help out individuals struggling with drug addiction, individuals who are trying to find help. So they've launched this program in Niles, and they're launching it in Paw Paw. So on today's show, we'll chat with a representative of the Paw Paw Michigan State Police Post about what they're doing there. And finally today, we'll hear about Lake Michigan College's wine program. They have an open house planned for this month for students, prospective students. They want to speak with individuals who may be interested in enrolling in the winemaking program at Lake Michigan College, because it's a new program and it's a very unique program. I mean, how often do you hear about a college that teaches people the art of winemaking? Well, they do that at Lake Michigan College now because we have a quickly growing wine industry here in Michigan's great Southwest. And so we'll chat with the man in charge of that program today and hear about the open house they're going to be holding. The registration deadline is fast approaching. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You're listening to Our Take. We'll take a quick break right now before we come back and resume the show with our first guest, State Senator John Prose. And if you have any thoughts on anything you hear on the show, send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. We're always interested in hearing from you. I'm the host today. My name is Andrew Green. We're taking a quick break. Stick around. We'll be right back with more Our Take. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Thanks for tuning in. I am the host today. My name is Andrew Green. On this show, we discuss issues playing out in the news around Michigan's great Southwest. Anything you've heard on WSJM news in the last few weeks, those are topics likely to come up here on Our Take. In segments ahead, we'll hear about a Michigan State Police volunteer program, and we'll also talk about Lake Michigan College, their wine program. They're going to have an open house this month. We'll hear about that in an upcoming segment. But right now, for this segment, I wanted to take a look at what's going on, or what's going to be going on, in Lansing. Our state lawmakers will get back to work full-time right after Labor Day, which is fast approaching. Here we are, sort of getting into the tail end of August. So I checked in with State Senator John Prose. He knows what's going on in Lansing. He knows what our lawmakers are likely to be working on in the next couple of months. So I chatted with State Senator John Prose about what is likely to happen in Lansing, in our capital, coming up. Let's hear that conversation now. All right, Senator. So our lawmakers, you are one of them. You'll be getting back to work right after Labor Day, correct?
early next month, just after the Labor Day holiday. We'll be back in session full-time, getting about the business of the state, and certainly the oversight work that's necessary to ensure that we're implementing the budget that we passed in June is the next phase of business. And of course, there's lots of other issues on the agenda that what I'm sure are going to get a great hearing throughout the next couple of months.
All right. So when lawmakers get back to work in Lansing, what stands out to you the most as sort of the biggest issue they'll likely be addressing?
Yeah, the biggest issue that continues to be the number one topic that people talk to me about in district, whether it be on my way out of church or in the grocery store or on the sports fields with my kids throughout Southwest Michigan, it seems to be auto insurance. It's something I've talked about in the past. It's something that we've tried to reform in the Michigan Senate. Unfortunately, the Michigan House of Representatives haven't been able to cobble the votes together to get some reforms that would hopefully decrease the costs that we all have as motorists and insured motorists in the state of Michigan. And after all, the current costs that we have are the most expensive in the entire nation. That's not a category I think we should be proud of. I think we should be trying to create an environment that is safe and secure, certainly, but an environment that is cost-effective and beneficial. It's almost a disincentive for folks to have car insurance because it is so very costly on our people, on our constituents, on the people that we all live with, our neighbors and ourselves. And then, of course, we're so close to the border, too. The folks in Indiana have nearly a third less cost than we do, and that is just an uncompetitive situation when compared to the state of Indiana, and we've got to do better with it. I hope that the legislature can take a look at this, take a hard review, and hopefully pass some legislation that will reform our no-fault auto insurance and our catastrophic claim systems.
It is true. I know my auto insurance rate just went up a few weeks ago. So the main thing you're going to be looking at is catastrophic claims, right?
Well, that's what passed the legislature in 2015 out of the Michigan Senate, and I did support those changes. And the idea behind it is that we provide an unlimited benefit to anybody that is injured in a catastrophic way for the rest of their lifetime, and for their dependents to be able to provide the top-notch level of support and services. In some cases, that means even reconstruction of homes. It means the purchase of vehicles for transportation for injured individuals. I mean, it is a very, very special perk and benefit. Now, nobody wants to be faced with the tragic situation of somebody being catastrophically injured in a car accident. But we, as insured motorists in the state of Michigan, cover the 25% to 30% who do not have car insurance today, thereby increasing all of our costs. And then you add on top of that the unlimited benefit and the fact that there are no cost caps on those benefits, and those cost caps really would help to decrease the overall cost to us, the insured motoring public. So we really have some work to do to get to a reasonable reform, but reform really must be on the top of the agenda in my mind.
Okay, so we've been hearing about this issue for years. So what's been the problem exactly? Is there some sort of sticking point in the state house?
Well, all of our state house and state senate districts are designed by virtue of population. And, of course, the population base in the state of Michigan is where? Southeast Michigan, Detroit, Oakland, Wayne, Macomb, those kind of counties over on the other side of the state. And those counties, because the per capita have so many more people, they have an awful lot of treatment providers for catastrophically injured people. And in fact, if I remember the statistic correctly, we have more trained traumatic brain injury specialists in the state of Michigan than any other state per capita because of the really very generous benefits in our catastrophic claims auto insurance system. And because of that, they have very lucrative practices taking care of the people who have had these tragic circumstances. And so it is difficult to cobble together the votes when it is such a strong lobby on the Southeast Michigan side of the equation here. While those of us who are on the border of Indiana look at this and say, how can we outprice our own constituents? We've got to find some reasonable reforms that keep a good benefit for people. We understand that we don't want to have bankrupt families who can't afford to pay for these catastrophic injuries. But should they be paid for at the highest reimbursement rate, well beyond Medicare, Medicaid, and even commercial insurance? And that's really what's happening is that we're paying well beyond the commercial insurance rates.
Okay, we're talking to State Senator John Prose. John, you just told us you expect auto insurance reform catastrophic claims to come up when the legislature returns to work next month. Anything else stick out in your mind?
You know, here at home, I'm going to continue to draw some attention to the veterans who've served our nation in the Vietnam War. My father was a Vietnam-era veteran. He served in the United States Air Force and served stateside, but served during that period of time and saw some of those first Vietnamese boat people who came to the United States as immigrants. You know, this is a really an important time in our nation's history, because we look back upon that and recognize that our Vietnam veterans were not well treated in most cases. We have a different sense today of what their service to our nation means, and fortunately, we are all recognizing the need to say thank you and just pause long enough to say thank you. And in fact, on Friday of this week, I will be in Cass County for the second of three Vietnam pinning ceremonies, where we're going to pause to say thank you and to welcome home our Vietnam veterans at this, the 50th anniversary of the Vietnam War.
So that's something you've got going on here close to home and not in Lansing.
So no, we won't be in Lansing to do so. We're doing it in district. Of course, we did a Vietnam pinning in spring in Bridgman, okay, at the VFW in, excuse me, at the American Legion in Bridgman. We're going to be at the VFW in Cass County at 3 p.m. on Friday, and then in September at the St. Joseph County Fair during the Veterans Day at the St. Joseph County Fair. And we expect some very large crowds and lots of individuals who deserve our thanks, who deserve our praise, and who deserve a proper welcome home. I have to tell you that at the ceremony in Bridgman in the spring, I had several of those veterans say that they have never once been welcomed home, that this is the first that somebody paused to say thank you and to welcome them home. And I think it's very important that we as a nation recognize the sacrifice of the families and the individuals who serve our nation.
You know, it's funny. I spoke to Jim McLuhan recently, the Medal of Honor recipient from South Haven. He told me the same thing. He said no one thanked us for anything when we got back.
Better late than never, I think, is the key. And you know, our Vietnam veterans, as my father has now since passed, but you know, that they're in their 70s in most cases. They served our nation proudly and with distinction at a time when our nation wasn't very welcoming when they came home from their service, or even when they were stateside serving during the Vietnam era. It was a tough time in American history, and I think we recognize that the sacrifices that are made on behalf of our military men and women really are deserving of our praise and recognition. And that's what we're trying to do here, is provide that welcome home and that thanks for the service to our great nation.
Okay, so honoring some Vietnam veterans, that's something you're doing around your district this week. What about when you go back to Lansing next month? You mentioned auto insurance reform. Any other legislative priorities?
Well, absolutely. There are several different pieces of legislation that continue to be a part of our discussion and our efforts here in the criminal justice reform, kind of the ongoing efforts to lead the nation in criminal justice reform, and we're really doing some amazing things. One of the areas that we're working on legislation is work opportunity grants for offenders and for risk populations. Really what it's about is recognizing that we have businesses and industries across the state who need individuals with skills and talents to fill the jobs that are available today. Thousands and thousands of jobs are available today, in particular in the career and technical education side of the equation. Those jobs that are hands-on, hands-related jobs, skilled jobs on our manufacturing floors and otherwise. So a work opportunity grant would give offenders, ex-offenders, whether it be probation, parole, or even prison, ex-prison offenders, an opportunity to gain the skills necessary and then a leg up for businesses to give them a chance to work on that job site, to work on the job floor, to work in that particular manufacturing environment. And it tries to recognize how the federal program can be a doubling of that program at the state level, where businesses and industries can take a risk on offenders from risk populations. After all, we've got a responsibility to ensure that the little bit that we pay on the front end keeps us from having failed offenders who end up back in our criminal justice system, costing us $34,000 a year in our prisons. We can do better. I expect that we'll do better, and the language that we intend to move will help to provide those grants so that those individuals can be on our job sites and be gainfully employed.
Okay, that's corrections. That's something you've worked on in the past. Any other corrections ideas you want to pursue?
Well, I think that our continuing efforts in criminal justice reform will also involve data. The fact is Andrew, we have multiple files for individuals who have drug and alcohol concerns through our Department of Youth and Human Services. They might even be known to our community mental health side of the equation. Yet another file could be at the community mental health side. Our prosecutors and our judges and law enforcement all may have different files. Michigan State Police may have yet another file. And then ultimately we end up with a prison file if individuals continue to commit crimes in our community. And all along that timeline, we see victims. And victims who are damaged by the actions of individuals who have all of these underlying problems. So if we can somehow tie these data points together in a way that recognizes best practices to solve those problems, we may be able to offload some of the incredible costs that we as a society bear for a small number of people who cause problems in our communities. And sometimes it's just a matter of finding the solutions that are underlying their problems. The crimes are being committed oftentimes because of drug and alcohol addictions. The crimes are oftentimes committed because they have coexisting conditions with mental health problems. How do we solve some of those things at the front end, thereby decreasing the very long and multi-file, multi-costly state functions that we have, state and federal dollars that literally are billions and billions a year? That's what we're working on, is to also find some ways to draw those data points together for solutions.
Okay, you know, I recently spoke with State Representative Dave Pagel out of Berrien Springs. He's on a state house mental health task force, and he was telling me one of the issues they've identified is the fact that corrections doesn't even know if an inmate has a background of mental illness. Is that what you're talking about here?
That's a part of it. But you can imagine that the individual is known to multiple different agencies in the state of Michigan. Community mental health, our health and human services through general assistance and assistance. It could be drug and alcohol providers who are attempting to try to solve some of the underlying problems. Many of these offenders, of course, are known to law enforcement. At multiple levels, both local, county, and state jurisdictions. Our courts then set up a separate file when they enter the court system. Our prosecutors know them from prosecution against them for the crimes they've committed, the victims that they leave in the wake. All of these different data points are all indicative of incredible costs that society bears to deal with these criminals and criminals who have underlying problems. So what do we do to try to understand the actions that are taken along that timeline, and how can we best provide services and support through each and every one of those files? And where does this all usually begin? It usually begins as a juvenile file through truancy in our schools. That's a great place for us to begin to focus some attention. We have some great juvenile justice systems in the state of Michigan, but we have 83 counties doing different juvenile justice things. What do we do to try to draw the strings together towards some commonalities and best practices for best outcomes? That's really what this data collection and data analysis is all about.
All right, so State Senator John Prose, we've been chatting with here. He's expecting some corrections reforms work to get done when lawmakers get back to Lansing after Labor Day. They actually had to go to Lansing for a one-day session or something this week, but the real work full-time gets started after Labor Day, and we just had a conversation with State Senator John Prose about that. He's thinking corrections, as he often is, when they get back, and also he's thinking auto insurance reform. They want to have another whack at trying to reform that no-fault catastrophic claims issue. Here in Michigan, you get unlimited benefits if you suffer a catastrophic injury in an auto accident. Now, that's not a bad thing. That's helped a whole lot of people, but at the same time, we do have the most expensive auto insurance in the country, and it's starting to get too expensive to drive for a lot of people. So our lawmakers, including Senator Prose there, they want to get to work on auto insurance reform once again when they get back to work full time next month. I thank State Senator John Prose for his time chatting with us about a couple of issues. Something he's doing in district is going to some ceremonies to honor Vietnam veterans this week as well. And so he's busy, even though this is the summer and lawmakers are more or less off for a couple of months. But right after Labor Day next month, they'll be back in Lansing at it again. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You're listening to Our Take. We're going to take a quick break right now, and when we come back, we will chat with Michigan State Police. We will talk with State Police about a program that they have to try to get treatment for individuals struggling with drug addiction. They're looking for volunteers both at the Niles Post and at the Paw Paw State Police Post. We'll hear about that in the next segment. And then coming up later, we'll talk about Lake Michigan College's wine program and an open house they have planned for that program for this month. If you'd like to weigh in on something that we discuss here on Our Take, send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E @wsjm.com. Stick around. We will be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. I am the host today. My name is Andrew Green. Thanks for tuning in. On this show, we discuss issues playing out in the news here in Michigan's great Southwest and around the state of Michigan. And last segment, that's just what we did. We talked about Lansing ongoings. We chatted with State Senator John Prose last segment. I asked him what he expected lawmakers to do when they go back to work full time in the Capitol next month. He's expecting auto insurance reform and additional corrections reforms to be priorities. He wants to try to find a way to get job training to inmates, and he also wants to address the unlimited benefits individuals in Michigan get for catastrophic claims. So that's something that is likely to come up next month in Lansing. For this segment, I wanted to chat with Michigan State Police about a volunteer program they have. We've talked about this before. It's come up a few times. They've put out the call for some volunteers. They need individuals who are willing to help out and become angels. It's this new angel program. They've had something like this at some posts, especially in northern Michigan, for a while, and they're rolling it out down here around the lower peninsula. And this is partly in response to the ongoing opioid epidemic. Opioid addiction and opioid deaths continue to rise despite the best efforts of public health officials. So State Police, Michigan State Police, they're looking at this and saying, all right, maybe we should try to get people treatment, especially when they seek it out. So they offer a program now at their posts in both Paw Paw and Niles, where if someone with a drug addiction, and it doesn't have to be just opioids, it could be anything, it could be alcohol or some other substance, someone with an addiction can go to the Michigan State Police post and request help, and the state police will connect them with a treatment center, with a service. And the individual who goes there seeking help will not be arrested. They can go in there without fear of being busted, even if they have a small amount of drugs on them. So I have chatted with Lieutenant Dale Hintz of the Michigan State Police post in Paw Paw to hear more about this program and what you can do if you would like to help. Let's hear that conversation now. All right, Lieutenant, tell us a bit about the Angel Program and where it's being rolled out by the state police.
We're actually bringing it to all the 5th District posts, which includes Wayland, Niles, Paw Paw, and Marshall.
Now, I just talked a little bit about what the Angel Program is. Tell us how it works.
Well, the MSP Angel Program is a program that allows an individual struggling with drug addiction to walk into an MSP post during regular business hours and ask for assistance with those addictions. If accepted into that program, the individual will be guided through a professional substance abuse assessment, and will ensure that proper treatment placement is given.
Okay, so once you get this running, you'll connect addicts with treatment programs rather than just arresting them.
We will. We hope to have that program up and running shortly after Labor Day at all of the 5th District posts, and currently we're seeking volunteers to serve as angels. And those individuals are members of the local community that will be present to support the individual during that process and to provide them transportation to the identified treatment facility.
Okay, so they drive a person to a facility. About how far away do you think the facilities would be?
They should be within an hour drive. We're hopeful that we'll be able to get placement at facilities that nearby. It could be a little further than that, though, because this program does allow for priority placement, so we don't have to turn these individuals away or give them a delayed date that they would be able to enter a treatment program.
And this is an expansion of this program. This is already something that's being done at a few other state police posts.
It has. It's been rolled out in the 7th and 8th District, which is the northern lower peninsula and the upper peninsula, and now it's coming to the 5th District here in Southwest Michigan. So we're excited about that.
Have you heard much about the results it's produced in those other districts?
So far, it's been very favorable. It's allowed us to offer this to individuals. It will also allow individuals to come into the post if they have a use amount of narcotics. We'll just dispose of that without threat of prosecution at the same time. So we're hoping to reach out to individuals that are users, that are addicted to these substances, and give them a different form or a different place to seek help in those situations.
And, you know, ever since the opioid epidemic started to be discussed so much out in the open, I've noticed police sort of approaching issues like drug addiction a little differently. It used to be you just arrest people. Now it seems like you're taking a different, maybe more educated approach.
We have. It's important that, we start looking at this from a different viewpoint. And we're definitely not interested in locking everyone up for their addiction. We'd much rather get them the help that they need to get them clean and free of this substance abuse once and for all.
Okay, and so as you look for volunteers to transport these individuals to treatment centers, what sort of person might want to volunteer for this work?
Well, I think someone that is responsible, someone that's caring, someone that has that availability that in relatively short notice could come to the post to render this type of assistance would be the individual that we're looking for. But the person that's a good fit for this is just somebody that overall cares and wants to make a difference in their community.
And do they go through a training?
They do. We'll provide the training, and they will be well outfitted before they're asked to take their first call.
And are there any requirements to volunteer?
The only requirements would be that the individual is at least 21 years of age, doesn't have any violent criminal convictions, and other than that, the application process is pretty much wide open.
And finally, if someone wants to sign up to be an angel, what do they do?
If they'd like to be an angel, they can contact us here at the State Police Post in Paw Paw at 269-657-5551. And we will get the application paperwork.
Okay, that was Michigan State Police First Lieutenant Dale Hintz. He's in the Paw Paw Post talking with us about the Angel Program. We've talked about it before. They're looking for volunteers. They're also looking for volunteers at the Niles Post. The number to the Niles Post is 269-683-4411. And so if you're interested in offering these sorts of services, give them a call. See what they tell you. They provide you with training. They do reimburse you for any gas that you use. I know that. And so that is the Michigan State Police Angel Program. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You're listening to Our Take. Thursday edition of the show. Can you see that? Can you see what's on the horizon? It's not too far off. It's the weekend, but we still got a couple of days left in this week. And you know what you need to do. If you haven't done it yet, and even if you have already, you should still just do it again, is go over to the Berrien County Youth Fair. That is taking place this week in Berrien Springs. Thousands of people have been going out there. The fair continues this week through Saturday. Saturday is the final day. Last night, they had a big concert with the country music stars, the Brothers Osborne. All of those country music fanatics were excited about that last night. Well, today, the fair continues. The carnival is going on with rides and games and all, of course, the carnival food, the fair food that's available. And coming up on the grandstand tonight, it's Demolition Derby, which is my favorite thing. That's when individuals sort of drive around in vehicles, wrecking them and competing to see who is the last one driving. It's $12 to get a ticket for that. They've brought back Demolition Derby after it was gone for a couple of years. So tonight, Berrien County Youth Fair, Demolition Derby. And then tomorrow, for Friday, they'll have Bull Mania. That's sort of a rodeo. It's a great family event. And then the fair will wrap up on Saturday with the motocross show on the grandstand. So you got a couple of days left here to visit the Berrien County Youth Fair in Berrien Springs. You can be one of the thousands and thousands of people to go down to the youth fair. And don't forget all the animal displays and the robotics displays. After all, it is the Berrien County Youth Fair. It's all about those kids, and so they've got all kinds of displays and exhibits going on. Thousands of them, more than 2,000 young people with more than 10,000 exhibits at the Berrien County Youth Fair this week. So you still have time to get over there. Go to bcyf.org to find yourself the schedule. We also have a link to that at WSJM.com. Exciting stuff. Plenty happening still this week in Michigan's great Southwest. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. We are going to take a break right now. When we come back, we will talk about Lake Michigan College's winemaking program. They have an open house coming up. We'll hear about that. Stick around. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You are listening to Our Take. Thanks for tuning in. I am the host today. My name is Andrew Green. Glad to be here. This is a show where we discuss issues playing out in the news around Michigan's great Southwest. Whatever you have heard about on WSJM News in the last week or so, those are topics likely to come up on this show. We talk about local events. We also talk about state news. Earlier on today's show, we chatted with State Senator John Prose about some legislative priorities that he's anticipating as lawmakers prepare to head back to Lansing full-time. They'll be back to work right after Labor Day. And that's always good in the news business. Gives us lots to talk about. And last segment, we chatted with Michigan State Police about their Angel program that's been rolled out to Niles, which we've discussed previously. And then today we talked about Paw Paw. So if you're in Berrien or Van Buren counties, they might need some volunteers to help out individuals struggling with drug addiction. And so you can contact them to learn more about that. Right now on the show, I wanted to talk about Lake Michigan College's winemaking program. Lake Michigan College, they have a program teaching people all about the wine industry, all the way from growing grapes to the customer service aspect and everything in between. And this is a unique program. You don't hear about too many winemaking programs at colleges, but it's relevant here in Michigan's great Southwest because we have a fast-growing wine industry here. They need people for all these wineries around the region. LMC has risen to the occasion, and they're trying to offer people an education in this subject. So they've got an open house planned for this month. They are going to they want prospective students of their winemaking program to come out and learn firsthand a bit about how it works and what they do there. So I have chatted with Mike Moyer. He is the director of the Lake Michigan College winemaking program to hear about this open house they have planned. Let's hear that conversation now. All right, Mike, so your winemaking program is going to be having an open house. Tell us a little more about what you're going to be doing.
Yeah, the open house is going to be at the Lake Michigan Vintners Tasting Room in Baroda, downtown Baroda, 8972 First Street.
And you're inviting individuals who might be interested in enrolling in the program?
So anybody who's interested in this, in the program, whether they've already enrolled for the fall or not, are invited to come and see the tasting room, ask some questions about the program from Mike DeShaff, our vineyard and winery manager, as well as myself. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, there'll be a little bit of light hors d'oeuvres and be able to taste some wines if they're of age. And, yeah.
So I imagine you probably get contacted all the time by people just interested in learning more about this program.
Yeah, we get a lot of interest from people who are interested in the wine industry and a bunch of different people from different backgrounds. Some people have an education already. Some people are just going to be beginning college for the first time, and some are entrepreneurs interested in getting into the wine business. Some people are considering a second career in the wine industry. So people express interest, and all these people have a lot of different backgrounds, like I said.
All right, and LMC is meeting a demand here because the wine industry is quickly growing around Southwest Michigan.
Yep, it's a growing industry. It's a growing industry throughout the state. And because it's a good place to grow grapes.
Okay, so you recently opened the wine tasting room in Baroda. Why hold the open house there?
Well, we figured it'd be nice. It's a more intimate setting, a little bit off the beaten path. Also, like I said, it gives an opportunity to showcase what we're doing. The unique aspect of the program is the hands-on component, and that involves the vineyard management, the wine production at the Lake Michigan Vintners at the space in the Mendel Center, and also the direct-to-consumer wine sales in the tasting room of Baroda. And we thought the best place to showcase the winery and the program was at the tasting room.
Okay, so what's the capacity of the wine and viticulture program at LMC? How many students can you serve?
So currently we are set up for 24 students. We don't have that many yet, so there definitely is room for the fall if anyone would like to enroll.
Okay, that was Mike Moyer. He is the director of Lake Michigan College's Wine and Viticulture Program. They're holding an open house this month. It'll actually be next Wednesday, but they want you to RSVP if you plan to go, and you should RSVP by this Friday. So you got 2 days if you're interested in this. The way to RSVP, you can call the college and ask to be connected with the Wine and Viticulture Program, or you could call the tasting room in Baroda. And we have an email address where you can RSVP as well. That's posted at WSJM.com. Just Google WSJM Wine Open House. You'll find the information there. The email address is actually lmorris@lakemichigancollege.edu to RSVP. But they're hoping students show up. They just opened this new tasting room in Baroda. It's on First Street or Front Street right there downtown. And there they sell wines made by students at Lake Michigan College. So they just opened up this tasting room. That's where the open house will be held next Wednesday. They're hoping prospective students come out and learn a little more about this unique program they're offering at Lake Michigan College. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You're listening to Our Take, and we are wrapping up another edition of the show right now. I thank you for being with me today. Earlier on the show, we chatted with State Senator John Prose about issues playing out in Lansing, what he expects to happen when our lawmakers get back to work right after Labor Day. He's anticipating that auto insurance reform will come up again. The big issue is the catastrophic claims. In Michigan, we have unlimited benefits for individuals catastrophically injured in a crash. And while that can be a very good thing, it can also, well, it causes costs to be inordinately high here in the state. So our lawmakers want to find some way of reducing auto insurance costs in Michigan. And that's something State Senator John Prose anticipates they'll be working on when they get back to work next month. Another thing he's expecting to move forward will be some corrections reforms. He's been working on that a lot. So he'll be working on that when they return to Lansing after Labor Day. Later on in the show today, we chatted with Michigan State Police about their Angel program. They're hoping to find volunteers who will transport individuals struggling with addictions to treatment centers. And they've rolled out the Angels program in Niles already. We've chatted about that previously. Today we talked to the Paw Paw Post. And all you have to do is call a Michigan State Police post if you'd like to volunteer for a program like that. And then finally, just now, of course, we chatted with Lake Michigan College to learn about their wine and viticulture program. Open house next week. You should RSVP by this Friday if you'd like to head on down there to Baroda to learn a little bit more about that. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This has been another edition of Our Take. I have been the host today. My name is Andrew Green. My pleasure to be with you. If you'd like to weigh in on something that we discussed, send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's ourtake@wsjm.com. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you have a great rest of your Thursday.